Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. If you have something to talk about, a question you'd like to pose, call right now, 844-322-2742, because that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. One of my favorite passages in the Word of God is Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. It really tells the story of the good news of Jesus Christ and exactly what that good news means to us as those who receive this good news, who receive Jesus Christ himself. And it really tells the story as far as what our problem is. And most of us think we're merely sinners in need of forgiveness, and certainly that's true, but our problem is much deeper. Our problem is the fact that sin had a consequence, and the consequence of sin, or the wages of sin, is death. So our problem is that we're spiritually dead. That's why we feel empty inside. That's why we feel like there's a hole in our heart, that something's missing, that something's just not right at the very core of who we are. Well, this gospel message fixes that. It gives us life. Why? Because that's what we need. So in verses 4 and 5 of this great passage, we read this, but God. And so the whole story starts with God. I mean, the very first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God. The very last verse in the Bible is this, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all people. Amen. So there's the story, God, and if we're going to have a connection to God, it's going to be through the grace of the Lord Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other opportunity. There's no other plan than God making himself known to us through the grace of the Lord Jesus. So here we see that in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, but God being rich in mercy. So what is God like? He is rich in mercy. That's wonderful to know. We need mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. So what else do we learn about God? Is that he has this great love, and he's demonstrated that great love towards you and me. He loved us. And he says this, even when we were dead in our trespasses. And again, that's our problem. We were dead in our trespasses. We've been made alive together with Christ. So what did God do? He made us alive together with Christ. And then Paul concludes that verse by saying this, by grace you have been saved. So this life issue is overlooked in most circles of Christianity. We really camp on that forgiveness side of things. We feel guilty. We feel ashamed. We feel burdened by fear and those sort of things. And we want to be released on that. So the forgiveness, the fact that Christ died for our sins, is very meaningful, as well it should be. But that is not the end of the story. And what we overlook so much is the fact that we've been made alive together with Christ. So because we've been made alive together with Christ, we live in a new covenant, not the old. The old was a ministry of death. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Under the law, we saw our need. We saw the fact that our condition was spiritual death. Under this new, we're given new life. We're made alive together with Christ Jesus. So don't overlook that good news. Don't just pass it by as if it's something that's going to happen to us in the by and by when we go to be with the Lord. It's true of you right now. You are alive in Christ. And the fact that you're alive in Christ is the very reason you have a new identity. If you weren't alive in Christ, you would still be a sinner by nature. But the fact that you're alive means that you're a new creation. It means that you are a child of God. It means that you are a saint by calling. So the fact that God, who was rich in mercy and had this great love for us in which he loved us, he made us alive, that's the very thing that gives us a new identity in Christ. Right. So please, folks, if you're listening, underline this verse. Memorize these two verses, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. And recognize that once you were dead, but now you're alive in Jesus Christ. It's the truth that absolutely revolutionized my life and gave me hope. I knew I was a believer. I knew I was a Christian, but I didn't know that I had been made alive together with Christ. So I tried to live the Christian life through my energy, through my human effort, through my own understanding. I tried to figure it out on my own, and I was a hopeless failure, frustrated, and finally threw my hands up in the air and said, Lord, there's got to be more. And I went to a Bible study. And I learned this truth that I had been made alive together with Christ. Yeah. It absolutely changed everything. And it will change everything for you as well. You recognize the fact that you're alive in Jesus. You get hope like you've never had before. And this Christian life starts to make sense.
Absolutely. Friends, all of the things that Bob just shared with you are contained in his book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, that points to actually the way out of a performance-based faith into the fullness of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we urge you to get your copy of the book. It's called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And right now it's only $10 postage paid. And you can find it online at basicgospel.net. You can also order it by phone at 844-322-2742. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Grace, order yours today and see clearly how the Christian life is really supposed to work by Bob's experience of hard knocks. 844-322-2742. If it is approximately 6 minutes after the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, while you're hearing the live broadcast, we want to hear from you. Pick up that phone right now if you've got a question or something you'd like to talk about. 844-322-2742, and that, of course, is good in the U.S. and in Canada. Well, guys, a very simple question from David, who listens on Facebook. He says, I heard a new one today that being born again is only about Israel. What are your thoughts on that?
It's an interesting question, and it gets down to theological viewpoints, how you read the Bible. Mm-hmm. And there is a viewpoint, and we agree with much of this particular viewpoint. And with any viewpoint, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bath. There are some key things that you want to take out of that theology, but it's called dispensationalism. And the C.I. Scofield Study Bible, is the one that really pushed that forward and made it gain popularity out there in Christian circles here in the United States. It's primarily a Western way of thinking. And it's basically dividing the Bible up into seven different dispensations. God is the same in all of those dispensations, but what they put forth is that God deals with people differently in each and every dispensation. So there's this dispensation of the law, that was the old covenant, and that has given way to the dispensation of grace. There's a dispensation of the kingdom. There's a dispensation of innocence. There's seven different dispensations. And I think this idea that new birth is only for Israel flows out of that theological viewpoint. So they would say that based on the prophecies that God had given to the nation of Israel, that there was going to be a point in time that they were going to experience rebirth or new birth as a nation. And so they take this passage in John chapter 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, saying, you must be born again, and then saying, why should it surprise you that I say you must be born again? In other words, you should know these things.
Yes.
And that he's speaking specifically about the nation of Israel. Us Gentiles, or those who are in the age of grace, experience something different. That's their viewpoint. That's their theological bias as far as dividing the Word of God. But I don't see that's how the Bible really spells it out, because he's talking there that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So anyone that receives Jesus, anyone who believes in his name, is given new life. Well, how is that new life given? Through new birth. We're born again into the family of God. This is not just a for Israel type of thing, for the nation of Israel. This is true of every single individual. Paul bears this out in his letters. Peter bears it out in his letters when he wrote in his first letter that we've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Paul saying in Titus chapter 3 that we have been washed through the regeneration and the renewal of the Spirit. These are all different ways of describing this new birth that we have in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I think every single person who receives Christ receives spiritual birth. It is born again of the Spirit and is added to the body of Christ. Richard, any thoughts on this?
I find Paul interesting because in chapter 5 of Romans, he doesn't say all of us who were children of Moses, for example. He says we were born in Adam. So he covers all of mankind.
Right.
Men, women, children, everybody is covered in Adam. And so we all have the same problem in Adam, which is death, and all of us have the same solution, which is life, in Christ. There's no distinction, no Jew, Gentile, slave or free, anything. It's Jesus and Jesus
right.
alone.
And it gets back to exactly what we were talking about at the top of the hour, the fact that we were dead, and now because of the richness of God's mercy, the great love for us, he made us alive. That's new birth. We cross over from death to life. That's what this salvation story is all about. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're there listening and you're sensing a hole in your heart. You're sensing an emptiness and you want to receive the very life of Christ. Well, don't wait another second.
Yeah,
don't wait another minute. Open that heart. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He wants you to open that heart and receive him and be made alive today. And just in the quietness of your heart, you can simply say to Jesus, Lord, thank you for dying to take away my sins, to take away the very cause of this spiritual death that I am now in. And today I want to receive you. I want you to come and live in me and to give me your life and make me alive together with you. And so today I trust you. I thank you for the grace that you're pouring out. I receive you as my Lord, as my life, and as my Savior. And you can just pray that in Jesus' name, and you can count on the fact that Jesus will come and live in you and make you alive together with him. And I guarantee you, if you've prayed that prayer, your life will never, ever be the same. Not because you've prayed a prayer, but because you've gone from death to life. I remember a number of years ago, the very reason I'm in ministry today is I had the opportunity to speak to an elderly gentleman in a hospital bed. He was dying, and I was called up to his room to help him with a particular issue that he was having, and in the course of that, we had this conversation about Jesus. And he had never really heard the story, had never heard the gospel, had never heard that Christ had died and was buried and was raised again so that he could have everlasting life. And he looked at me and said, oh, Bob, I want that. I want to receive Jesus. And that moment, it was like I just became a spectator.
There was
this interaction between this gentleman and Jesus Christ himself. And he said the most genuine, heartfelt prayer I have ever heard in my life. It wasn't haughty or any of those things. It was just humble words pouring forth from this man's heart. And I watched him go from death to life in Jesus.
Yeah.
And his life was just transformed. I mean, from that moment, he became the singular most dynamic voice for the gospel I had heard. Every single person that walked in that room heard the news that Jesus was alive, that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and that this Jesus was now alive and living in him. It was
stuff.
An incredible transformation, and that's what happens to you. When you receive Christ, you go from death to life born again of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
So if that's you, if you have received Christ, we want to know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so write to us. Write to me, bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. Just tell me your story. And we want to send you some resources to help you really get established in this new life that you have in Christ, so that your journey can be by grace through faith in Jesus from start to finish.
Yeah.
Mine started by grace through faith in Jesus. I threw in a lot of human effort, and I really got sidetracked for a number of years. And then God, in his love and mercy, brought me back and showed me what I'd been missing and how the Christian life was really supposed to work. So I want you to start from by grace through faith in Jesus and keep on that path from start to finish.
Yes. Well, we appreciate hearing from David. And since we're talking about the nation of Israel, the most important events in human history happened right there in that little country. And Bob and Richard, we haven't talked about the trip coming up in 2019 to Israel. So let's talk about it right now. Tell our listeners exactly what they can expect.
Well, Israel, one, is just a beautiful country. It's surprisingly beautiful. You think when you read the Bible, you see Jesus going out in the wilderness and the barren lands, and you think that's all you're going to see over there. And even those barren places have this beauty that is haunting, just mesmerizing. But in the middle of all that, there is just some of the most beautiful pieces of land you will ever see. So the sheer beauty of Israel is just breathtaking. Looking out on that Kidron Valley and just seeing the beauty of that and the agriculture and Israel, the nation of Israel, they're just masters at agriculture. I mean, they just bring that land to life. And then to walk those places where Jesus walked, to be where these stories that we read about in the New Testament actually happened, it just brings these stories to life in a way that you never expected. And you'll never read the Bible in the same way ever again.
Really?
I guarantee you that. And if you're going to go to Israel, you need to go with a group like ours.
Yes.
Why do I say that? Because we're going to be telling the story of Israel and what happened there through the lens of the new covenant. Jesus stood with his disciples. He raised his cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." And the moment he died, that blood that he shed ratified that new covenant. Everything changed at the cross. And so we're going to look at this land and all of these events that happened there through that lens. And when you look through that lens, there's clarity, confusion leaves, and boy, just this heart response to what Christ has done just overwhelms and just majestic and powerful ways. So come and be a part of this trip next May 25th through June 6th. I guarantee you it is worth every penny that you invest in it. And once we're finished, you'll be looking forward to the next time we go as well.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, you'll find all the information on our home site, basicgospel.net. At the very, very top of the page, you'll see Israel 2019. We want you to be a part of it, as Bob was saying. Get registered, and we'd love to see you on that trip. Well, guys, Beverly listens on oneplace.com in Pacific Grove, California, and she had this question. How can we know the Bible truly is the Word of God when there are so many different Bibles, translations, religions, and so forth? Each religion thinks their Bible is the right one. And which translation is the right one? The King James Version, the New King James Version, the New Living Translation, or the New International Version? She just gives those particular options.
Well, that's an outstanding question. How do we know this Bible is the Word of God? That it tells us the truth about God, that it gives us the answer to our heart problems. And that's what we're really looking for when we go read the Word of God or when we examine other philosophies or other religious systems. We're looking for answers for ourselves. Does it tell us the truth about God? Does it tell us the truth about us? And I think when you go into the Word of God, you see something different than what any other philosophy offers. Jesus stands in the center of this story. This book from Genesis to Revelation is the unfolding story of Jesus Christ himself, and he stands at the center of it, and he gives an invitation to each and every one of us, and that invitation is to come unto him. And so he's made some claims about himself. He's claimed that he has authority to forgive sins, and the Jews that heard him at that time, they knew that only God has the authority to forgive sins. So he was making a statement about himself, that he has the same authority as God the Father. In other words, he was claiming to be God. He said that he and the Father were one. Now, there's no other religious leader that's ever made such outlandish claims. So you have to examine those and to look at them for what they are and determine if they're true or not. And if they're not true, then this Jesus isn't just a good moral teacher. He's not a moral teacher at all. He's a liar or he's a lunatic. And those are the options that this story about Jesus gives us. There's no other options. We can't just look at it as a nice religious philosophy, because Jesus doesn't give us that option. So when we see what this Bible tells us about Jesus, what Jesus said about himself, it forces us to ask the question, is this true or isn't it? And I think when we realize it's true, then we see the power of this word unleashed in us. And that's really the overwhelming evidence, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, when the various committees that met hundreds of years ago and tried to decide, you know, what should we include, the number one idea, the number one requirement was a changed life. You know, they had before them all kinds of writings, some of Paul's, you know, some of Peter's and John's, some of the other people, some that claim to be of Paul or Peter, and their number one criterion was, when people read this, are their lives changed?
Yes.
And the books we've got, these letters, the Bible we've got, was in large measure the result of asking that question. Now, there are other technical issues and all of that, but number one was a changed life. When people read these words, in whatever version, there is no correct version. It can't be. You got too many problems of translation from language to language. But when they read, and they read with an open mind and ask, you know, what am I supposed to understand from this? Is there even a God? God will answer that question and will change their lives. And so if you're worried about it, don't. Pick a translation that's comfortable for you. Read it, ask God to lead you, and watch what happens.
Yes, indeed. So the Old Testament that was written down for us in Hebrew, it was later translated into Greek. Mm-hmm. The New Testament was written in Greek, some Aramaic, yeah. Some passages in Aramaic. Those are the original languages. And translators have taken the manuscripts that they have found and codified. They have used those to bring translations to us, and they've been translated in every single language known to man,
yeah.
Except for maybe a few. And so we have to recognize that God himself is going to preserve his word and make it known to us through his Spirit.
Indeed. Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate so much hearing the counsel that you give our listeners. Friends, if you have a question, call 844-322-2472 anytime, or 2742, I should. Let me do that again, 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. We would love to hear from you and allow you to pose your question to us here at Basic Gospel. You can also drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net, or you can log on to Facebook or YouTube, and there's the option to do that there. Question for you, how important is the issue of the believer's identity in Christ? Well, I don't think it can be overstated. And to say thanks for your gift of support to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you our series, The Real You, that will reveal the truth about our true identity as believers, as children of God. So donate online at basicgospel.net. In Canada, basicgospel.net. Well, yeah, in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. We're out of time, so I'm going to be quiet, and we're going to move along. See you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.